Somebody adjusted my levels.
TNT.
Dynamite. You definitely TNT. Adjusted my levels. You adjusted my levels.
You got the timer.
Nah.
Yes, you did.
Get a little drinky drink.
No one did that.
Who's fucking with my levels?
No one touched your levels.
Who's fucking with my levels?
No one touched your
levels. Who's fucking with my levels?
Get on my level.
How the fuck am I supposed to? How am I supposed to talk with this asshole walking around behind the camera?
Where's that from?
Where's the professionalism?
What's his name?
Do I fucking come down to the lighting room and come down there and play with your fucking lights? Do I do that fucking shit? No.
It's not working.
So why are you coming around, walking behind the goddamn camera?
Can you put my
What the fuck?
Where's that from?
It's fucking bullshit. It's unprofessional bullshit.
Welcome back to Enjoy the Podcast. I am your host, Jared Brady. I got Los and JD in the house.
You almost merged us.
I know. Los and JD.
Thank you.
Los JD. Los JD.
JD Los? Los JD?
Oh, he said his name's first, bro.
Los JD.
I don't care.
Low JD?
I don't care.
Well, anyways, I'm going to pass this over to JD. You know, we always do have to do a toast.
Yes, we still demand justice. Stop with these damn gender reveals. Get your shit together.
Wait, that's the past, bro. That's the past. We're done with the gender reveals. It's already done.
No, you still see you. Smoke?
Yeah, but the fire's already done.
Oh. Are the fire?
They started the fire.
They did. Actually, they did.
Anyways, the and we want a show before the end of 2020. Fellas.
Cheers.
Cheers. Cling, cling, cling.
Jared didn't make eye contact with me. That's bad luck.
It's fucked up.
Don't wish that on me.
Tastes so good.
I'm tired of coming here and you guys trying to put karma on me.
We come here.
Trying to fucking,
first of all, we come here.
You're trying to put karma on me. You're trying to goddamn.
I'm not trying to.
What did you just wish on me?
I
bad luck?
I didn't wish you a
no.
bad luck.
You wish bad luck?
You didn't look me in the eyes during our clink clink,
yeah.
Which makes it bad
yeah,
luck.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I was trying to give you an astrology reading.
Yeah. See what I'm saying? You believe in astrology?
Yeah, man.
Really?
Yes.
That explains a lot.
Good. Ooh. I hope it does.
You believe in astrology?
To an extent. I think that there's something to the energies of the world and the universe and, like, you know, how maybe not so much how you act all the time, but just, like, maybe there's some, like, baseline layer stuff. I don't know that I believe, like,
yeah,
the, like, deep down levels of it and all that. But
yeah.
I don't just completely dismiss it, even though there's no, like, factual proof behind it.
I've seen people post like this is there's facts or there's this
maybe
or
there
there's
is
that.
And I'm just not aware of it,
you know.
Yeah.
I don't want to come off like I don't necessarily believe in astrology. I haven't done the necessary research, you know, per se, but the research that has been told to me, it does sound a little foo-foo.
Sounds a little fugazi.
It sounds a little foo-foo.
I just think you had the wrong messenger.
Yeah,
that's all.
I've had a lot of messengers.
I mean, it's quality over quantity.
What about astrology makes you believe it? Like, what is it? What is it? What about it makes you go with that?
Yeah, so
this
I,
is real.
I saw an astrologer,
yeah,
and I had a astrology reading, I guess, yeah, for lack of a better technical term.
And it was spot on, huh?
It was very spot on, past, present, and then what was going to be the future.
Do you have it with
TBD.
You?
I actually have it recorded.
Can you read it?
Well, I can listen to it. I can't
read it. She didn't give you the written?
No, it's recorded. Like, we were live in person. And I recorded her giving
this story
me this,
is becoming more and more weird.
Intriguing.
No,
is the word.
No,
you're
because
intrigued.
Because how is she going to read you spot on like that?
No, so there's a whole system. Okay, so she's on her laptop. She also has some cards. She's like a
she's a card reader too.
She's like a card reader slash
tarot card
astrologer. Yeah,
she's a numbers type of.
Yeah, so in astrology is all about numbers though, right?
Yeah.
So it's exact date of time of birth,
yeah.
Date of birth, place.
Okay.
I've given this to somebody and they've given me a written up piece and it sounded like my neighbor.
Okay.
It sounded just
again,
like,
I think you had a bad read. And so so we're doing it all and she's like, "Do you want me to do the cards?" I'm like, "Yeah, sure, go ahead."
Yeah.
And she
hell
told
yeah,
me,
"I'm paying you, ain't I? Do all
yeah,
that shit."
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
So she gave
do
me some
card,
good stuff. She told me about
board.
Some past stuff, told me about like kids in the future.
What'd she say?
We're going to have kids, she said.
That's so groundbreaking, bro.
I mean, you cut me off. We were going to have kids.
Yeah.
And they were going to be, we were going to have two boy first and then a girl.
Okay.
And the boy, actually, she said, would be, we would get pregnant February 2021.
So we're going to literally see.
We'll find out.
Very soon if she read your chart, like, correctly.
I mean, that's one of the many things she read, but yeah.
What if you went and got your reading? She's like, the boy's gonna be dumb.
Oh,
she wouldn't say
can
that.
Can they say that? Can they?
They can. So they preface
the girl's
it, right?
gonna be smart, but the boy,
yeah.
Eh, not so much.
So they preface it. They're like, yeah. What don't you want to know? And I always say, I don't want to know death.
Me they can tell family. You when you're going to die?
Yeah. When you're going to die, and they can tell you I who else know. Is going to die?
Astrologers, hey, let me I know when I'm going to die.
You're going to live yeah. different if you know when you're going to die.
Of course, and but that's I don't believe
good thing or better, bad though. Thing.
Yeah, I agree.
You might live better. You might appreciate your life more. Do fun stuff. Go skydiving. I did. It was fun.
Nah. Well, I don't believe it. I mean, and I think here's the thing. I don't believe it because when I did at a point believe in astrology, and I did at a point believe that everything happens for a reason thing. But my life was shit. My life wasn't good. And when I started making decisions for myself and stopped being like, well, I'm going to make this decision because I'm a Libra, or I'm making excuses for my bad habits, like, oh, well, Libras are just indecisive and that's why I can't make a decision. You see? But here's the thing. As soon as I said, you know, that's not true, I can make decisions, my life started getting better.
Sure, but that's
and that's just like a small example.
Yeah, and that's you taking control of your choice. But that's also you actually manifesting what you want out of life, right? So,
but choosing.
So as we talked about, like the astrology thing is, okay, so my birthday's in February 4th to be exact.
Yeah, what are you?
I'm an Aquarius, but my rising moon.
You're such an Aquarius, bro.
And
only Aquarius would believe this. You're such an Aquarius.
So my rising sun, rather, and then my moon signs are different.
Yeah.
Okay. So like that actually, one of those can actually really determine what your personality is more so than like an Aquarius. I have an Aquarius traits, a lot of them, but I also have more of a Taurus personality. And
what is about you that is Taurus, and what about you is Aquarius?
I'm not going to go into because right now I feel like you're just fucking with me. I'm not. Don't worry. If you want to, we can talk later.
No. Because here's the thing. I think a lot of the followers that follow us are into astrology. And me and them always get into it.
That's fine.
Me and them always get into it because they're always like, oh, what is your sign? Oh, you're such a Libra. Ooh, like, you know, and I'm just like, okay.
I'm an Aries if anybody would like to tell me why I'm such an Aries.
Yeah.
Have fun.
Yeah. So
let us know.
Los is an Aries. I'm a Libra. JD is a Aquarius.
Yeah.
JD's a unicorn.
You guys don't know what that reference is, but maybe by the end of this episode, you will.
Why is it got to be this episode?
Oh, you want to hide it?
Why wouldn't it be?
I felt like it's already been established. I mean, the flowers was not a dead giveaway that I'm a one-on-one.
Yeah, you're a unicorn, man.
I'm aware that I'm rare. I mean, it's
no. He's a unicorn of a man.
A unicorn of a man. What's a unicorn man then?
I will
me.
So all right, let's. I don't know that JD knew this when he wrote this bio. All right, real quick, we should just
wait. What do you mean about me?
Should we just like?
Are you gonna read his bio right now?
Not the whole thing. Definitely not the whole thing.
I thought you said you're tired of us coming over here shitting on you. This is like
today's
roast
today
JD.
Today we're roasting.
Wait. When did I
today
say
we're
that?
Roasting
when
JD.
Did I say
right
that?
Right when we started. You're like, I'm tired of you guys coming over.
Oh, yeah.
Today well, JD gets a little.
I'm not reading the bio. I didn't.
Oh, no. I'm,
it sounds like you knew what was going to happen.
I'm going
to
read.
Go ahead, Los. So while you find it.
I found it.
I wrote it. At night,
yeah, yep.
And I was hyped. I'm like, oh, this is really. Now I'm laughing.
Here's the thing. No, but here's the thing. The second,
it's so fucking
the
long.
The second
it's
half
the
of
Star
it.
Wars intro.
So, no,
long, long time ago.
Oh my
god, galaxy far, far away. JD wrote a fucking bio.
Listen, Jared asked me to write a bio for this magazine, and I was like, okay, cool.
Short
let me
bio.
Talk about me.
But here's the thing. The second half of your interview was it actually touched my heart, and I really appreciated it.
Yeah, actually, yeah. No, the second half was
great.
When I did actually read it,
the second half was great.
It was
I'm
nice.
Not even trying to make a joke
I'm sure
right now.
I'm sure it's not going
to
make the cut.
No, it is going to make the cut.
I'm saying
that the second part was it made my strengths, but the first part,
and even to the point where I feel like the second part is stuff that she might even want to know for whatever they're doing. But all that said, second part's great. First part, ooh, it was fun. Okay, here we go. JD.
By the way, make sure you play a beat over Los's reading. Go ahead.
I'm going to put a nice little piano.
Go ahead, Los.
I'm a proud girl dad, husband, and father to my furry son, Chicago. Speaking of Chicago, that's where I was born and raised. No matter where I go, it will always have my heart. I've been a full-time international model for 15 years and been blessed to have traveled to over 25 countries. That's actually really cool. Like, shout out to JD for that.
Not a lot of people can say that.
It's pretty dope. I moved to LA in 2018. This is my favorite sentence. This is my favorite sentence. Oh, I love this sentence so much. I love this sentence so much. I love it. I got so excited when I read it. I was like, holy shit, he didn't mean that. Here we go. I moved to LA in 2018 to be with my now beautiful wife, and it's happened to a different market in my career. Your now beautiful wife, JD?
No, I
she
mean,
she wasn't
like,
beautiful at the time when you married
no,
her.
No, he was saying now
I
wife.
I know, but the structure of the sentence.
Oh, okay.
My now beautiful
sorry,
wife.
Sorry, I'm grammatically incorrect.
Yeah,
to
no.
a different place. I loved it so much. Like, Jesus, so what was she before you married her?
Listen.
But he wasn't referencing
was she
that.
A wife? Was she beautiful?
What
happened?
What had happened was, and what I meant to
it
say.
It was late at night.
It was late at night, and I meant to say I moved to LA for my now, like present day,
yeah,
beautiful
wife. Yeah,
because
he moved prior to marrying her.
Right.
Correct.
No, I got that, but.
No, you get it now. You didn't get
no,
it
I
now.
Got it at the time. I knew what you meant to say. I just, that's not, you know, what you said.
Here's the thing. He does this to me all the time. I don't know if you noticed, but I say sayings wrong.
Say things the right way. And if I say things wrong, I expect people to correct me because I will correct you.
No, yeah. No.
It's because I love you. I don't want you out in the world saying dumb things.
Oh, I feel love.
Looking dumb.
Right now.
So that's actually my second
favorite
sentence.
The last
sentence.
Time I get vulnerable with you.
My first favorite sentence. My first favorite sentence. This is where I stop reading. I'd like to think of myself as a unicorn of a guy.
Thank you for the claps. Thank you for the claps.
Here's the thing.
Oh, give him an awe. Give him an awe. Where's the awe? No. Oh, shit.
It's right here, bro.
He's a unicorn.
Here's the thing. Here,
oh, my
in
God.
JD's defense.
I'm JD. Aware that I'm rare.
In JD's defense. Let me get this out. In JD's defense. That's the weirdest sound I've ever heard in my life.
That's the sound of me
in
recovering.
JD's defense, I had right. used this as an insult in one of our comments.
You did.
I
you,
used
you
this.
You used it.
I used
it
in unicorn.
Me.
Yeah, I used the yes. unicorn in front of an audience member. And yes. you know what they responded with?
They probably said he is one.
They said, rarity is rare.
I'm aware that I'm rare. I know.
Using a word
it's
to
not,
describe
it's not for
the
everybody.
Word. I love it when people
it's
do
It's not
that.
For everybody.
Stupidity is stupid.
No.
But that's a powerful sentence.
Is it? No.
But a lot of people do feel like you're rare. I see a lot
JD
of comments.
Is definitely rare.
I see a lot of comments that are like, we need more men like JD.
They do. JD is a good guy.
JD's a nice guy.
He's a nice guy.
Thank you.
I like JD.
Now that we got that out the way.
He's also a unicorn. Unicorn also has several other meanings.
Oh, here's Los is still
several
going.
Other what?
Los is
several
still
other
going
meanings
on
to unicorn.
Though.
Go ahead, finish it. Two I mean, other, you already started. Go
two
ahead.
Meanings to
go
unicorn.
Ahead.
One is a person that is brought into the bedroom of a couple for that couple to have sex with.
Okay.
That's a unicorn. And two, a lot of trans women describe themselves as unicorns.
Is there a third option?
Apparently you.
Survey says number three.
So in Urban Dictionary, when you look it up, if you look up the word unicorn,
but
you'll
wait.
Have... A person, a couple's fucking, a trans woman,
and
or
JD.
And me. But explain why I said unicorn. You can't just leave the
people. Oh, no. JD definitely said he's a unicorn because he's unique. Should I? Do I,
well,
you want
I
me
mean,
to keep reading? Like,
obviously. Well,
oh,
just
okay.
get more context.
Oh, well, all right. Yeah, let's get a little bit more context.
Yeah, yeah.
Although modeling is a day job, it is by no means who I am as a person. In fact, I used to say if it weren't for modeling, I'd be an interior designer. Adding to my passion of creating dope interiors, I eat, sleep, and breathe sports. I also like the word, my passion of creating dope interiors.
Well, I had to dumb it down for some
I know
people.
You did. You did. But whenever it makes me think of that fucking, what was that movie? The guy was like, that's dope.
Oh,
and he's like talking about, I don't know, just
yeah.
I heard it in that voice.
Yeah.
I but I talk it. About flowers and plants.
Oh, flowers and plants.
Yeah,
I didn't
yeah.
keep reading. I'm sorry, I have to keep going. All right. Dope interiors. I eat, sleep, and breathe sports. I'm proud to say I have one of the best green thumbs of anyone I know and have over 30 plants in my apartment.
That's a shot at you, bro.
Yeah, that's fine.
That's a full shot at you.
That's fine. He's doing his thing. He's got 30 plants in his apartment. He hasn't killed him. That's good. Good job, JD.
Thank you.
Green thumbs. Not a green thumb. He has two green thumbs.
I do. It takes two some time.
Oh, wow. Talk about shots being fired. Wow, there are some shots in
good.
Here. I didn't
yeah.
actually,
read them off.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't
yeah.
actually fully
yeah.
appreciate the shots. That was a shot, but
yeah.
I don't feel insulted. I'm
yeah.
proud of my brother. He's
yeah.
doing his thing.
Thank you.
Now, the person that he talks about next, however, may not appreciate this.
Is it me?
No.
No. I don't talk about you guys.
I'm also, he does in a very nice way, though. He says yeah. great things about us. I'm also my wife's personal shopper and fashion stylist, LOL.
Ooh. She probably approved that message.
Did she yeah. know you wrote that?
I mean, it's facts. Where's the lie?
Okay. Shit. And she was dressed very nicely when we went to dinner that night.
Thank
did you.
You
pick that outfit out?
Probably. And I don't pick them out all the time, but let me.
Do you always tell your wife what she can.
No. That's why I want to clarify. Because I already know it's coming. Thank you. Tee me up. Let me.
Where did this heat come from?
I felt bad. No. We've been just giving you so much shit.
I appreciate this right now. I'm actually enjoying this.
I'm sure you are. Oh, you're enjoying this.
I mean, and you guys feel free. You know.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
No. So I just want to give more context to that. My wife, when she shops, is always like, can you please come with me because I really value your opinion. And whether it's online or in person, so much in fact, one of the biggest things that she said was when we were planning our wedding, it kills me that you can't help me pick out my wedding dress. This is like the first time I've actually shopped without you. Wow. And I can't come to you because it was the first look thing I
see.
Yeah,
you can't do it.
So again.
It's against the
I enjoy, shout out to my single mom. If you
is that you?
That's me, dog.
That's
me. This is me and my mom.
How cute.
It's like an album cover.
No, this is 93, dog.
It's a mixtape cover.
This is Illmatic.
If you ever start rapping, that's definitely.
Keep it in mind. So anyway, shout out to my single mom.
Yeah.
You know, when I had to spend many a days in Nordstrom.
Yeah. You learned.
Learning.
You learned what looked
good. It paid off. Are you done?
Yeah, are you done, bro?
Yeah, that was it.
Are you done?
That's all I got.
Okay.
But no, so wait, there's no shots fired. And in fact, I wrap it up very nicely at the end.
No, you do.
I
was just saying shots fired that you were the best green thumb that you know, and Los is a pretty good one, and he's openly talked about his garden.
To be fair, and that's my bad.
Yeah.
That's my bad.
I'm not insulted by
so,
that.
So when I know. So when I think of green thumb, and I wonder how much of this will be on this.
Yeah, I know. It's probably going to be gone.
But when I was the timer, actually.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
So when I think of green thumb.
God damn.
Jesus. Okay.
That's fine. It's
B-roll.
Yeah, yeah.
When I think of green thumb, I actually only think of someone who has a plant life, flower life in their house. Because I've actually never met anyone that grows.
Yeah, green thumb is growing it, isn't it?
But to me, it's like in your house. How many people do you know that grow stuff aside from Los?
Yeah.
Flowers, at least.
Yeah.
Like this is my first time. So you're the unicorn when it comes to growing flowers.
I don't know how to describe myself.
You're a rare breed.
You are a unicorn, bro.
I don't think I describe myself.
You got some unicornness in you, is what I'm trying to say. But anyways,
yeah.
What's the part that made you guys tugged on your heartstrings?
You were just saying how excited and how we hit it off the first episode and how you're excited for the future and how we just have a really good dynamic. All that stuff was good. I like that part.
I agreed with all that.
That was my favorite part. No offense to you.
I'm a humble guy, but I also know that I've never met anyone who is like me.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good thing or a bad thing. Yeah. I can talk to Los about sports all day.
Yeah.
I can talk to you about what the fuck you're wearing sometimes.
Yeah. Except for foreplay.
Because he's the
one. No one can.
No one can.
You talk to Shan
that.
Or the wall. That's it.
Yeah.
I can talk to women about flowers. I can talk to women about interior design.
Well, you better not talk to them about flowers.
Were you not here last episode?
Yeah. Have you not been in the comments lately?
I'm done.
Keep your green thumb at home.
What are we talking about today?
Yeah.
Why are we here?
So now that we got that out the way,
just keep talking about nothing.
No, actually, I
Seinfeld did.
Is that what the show is about?
No, that's like their elevator pitch.
Random shit.
What's Seinfeld? It's a show about nothing.
Oh.
It's one of the most successful shows of all time. Like this will be. Carry on.
Hey.
Clap.
Clap. Clap. Fucking clap, bro. What's
just
your problem?
Do it your job,
clap,
bro.
Do your job. You got one job. Well,
you got nine jobs. You can't do one.
Maybe more than one.
You know, I feel like this episode, I actually don't feel this, but I think it would be a good discussion because.
What don't you feel?
What don't I feel?
You said, I feel
because I was going to say that I came up with this topic, but I didn't. I actually agree with this topic. It got brought to my attention from Shan. So I think it was last week we were on the phone trying to figure out different topics on what we should speak about on this podcast.
Right.
And Shan was overhearing us talk, and she was like, well, why don't you guys talk about when you guys became a man?
And we're like, no, don't do it.
No, I was just like, that's going to be heavy. That is going to be heavy because I felt like there is so many definitions on what a man is. There's so many different types of interpretations on what a man is.
And they're all subjective.
Which actually, I think that might be a good topic to dive into. So my first question to open this entire thing out is, What do you feel constitutes a man?
So more so like, what is our definition of being a man?
Like what defines manhood to us individually?
Yeah, like what constitutes a man? Like if you think of the word a man, mm-hmm. or you think of the
I'm
phrase
a grown ass man, like if you
what comes to mind?
I'm a grown ass.
What you got, Lewis? What you got?
Oh man, that is fuck. You know, I thought I had an answer when I was thinking, cause like we kind of brainstorm our shit before we get here. And to be honest, last night when I was thinking about this, I thought I had an answer.
It's
and
heavy.
Now that you've asked me it in person.
Yeah.
Yeah. The one, all right, I can start it off with this. One thing that when I think of the word, like, you know, when I think of manhood, dependability comes to mind.
Yeah.
That's one word that, that rings loudly in my head. I'm having trouble going from there.
Yeah, yeah.
But dependability is one thing that I've like kind of not in being on time. Please forgive me that. I'm terrible. But as far as like knowing that if I tell you I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it.
It's going
to
get done.
If you need, knowing that if you need me there to be there for you doing, you know, whatever it may be, that I'll be there, that my word is something that you can depend on.
Mm-hmm.
That to me is... that's kind of like one of the biggest factors for me,
yeah.
as far as like how I feel about my manhood. Once
I see that.
Once I started feeling like my word is my bond, to, you know, take mm-hmm. that old cliche. Mm-hmm. Once I start feeling like I can actually say that and stand on that, like if I say something, I stand on it and that's that. That's when I started to feel more empowered and more like, you know, like a man. I didn't feel like, you know, some kid trying to figure it out at that point.
Yeah.
But
what yeah. about what comes
no,
to mind
I
for
was,
you?
I just want to piggyback off of that. That's actually really good. I struggled as well.
Yeah.
I mean, we were talking yesterday,
yeah.
and we were like just rolling.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then like last night, I always try to prep.
Yeah,
my notes
head,
and
yeah.
stuff, and I'm like,
what is?
Oh,
a
I got.
Man?
And I'm like,
yeah, like you think you know, you know, and then once you start, you're like,
yeah.
And actually, like for me, I think what I really struggled with was yes, the definition to me, but also like if I could pinpoint a time.
Yeah. I yeah, when
like
I think
a certain
of
experience or moment,
right?
Yeah. yeah, when I think of manhood, when I think of someone who became a man, I instantly yes, dependability comes to mind. I think of somebody who has integrity. Mm-hmm. I think of somebody who yeah. can look at their flaws with amorals, like
yeah.
look at their flaws completely for what they are and do not soften them.
Yeah,
I felt like a lot of because it really came down to okay, well, what is a boy?
Yeah.
And what I thought to myself was like somebody who does not take responsibility.
Sure.
Somebody yeah. that you yeah. can't depend on.
Yeah. Yep.
Somebody that doesn't know what they want.
Immature.
You know, exactly. Somebody that is just in a place of refusing to look at what they need to fix.
Right. Yeah.
And I think back to when I became a man or when I felt like I was a man, you know, when we talked, it actually it made me feel like, oh, well, that's very superficial. From what I initially thought.
So tell me
so
what you said. Yeah, because it was good.
My pattern was, okay, I felt like I was a man when I did not depend on anybody.
Right.
When I didn't depend mm-hmm. on anybody financially.
Mm-hmm.
When I was able to take care of people.
Mm-hmm.
When I was able to fix the flaws in me
yeah.
without softening them.
Yeah, I can echo probably both of what you guys said. I think,
yeah.
Again, for me, I definitely struggled with the definition for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll take it back even further. So I grew up without a dad.
Yeah.
You know, which is, I mean, most of us do, especially,
yeah.
you know, black people, but
I did too.
Yeah. I mean,
for most of my life,
yeah.
till I was about 12 years old, my mom remarried, but
yeah. yeah. And actually my mom had a pretty long-term boyfriend for about 8 years and it was a good, important chunk of 8 years of my life. So
yeah.
I was like 9 to like 16, 17,
oh,
which
yeah.
is like
oh, those
very
are important.
Important.
Yeah.
yeah.
Thankfully.
Right.
But anyways, yeah. So I grew up without a dad. So like we didn't have the cheat code, you know, we didn't have the, let's just look up at our pops and be like, oh, that's what a man is. Okay, cool. I'll
yeah.
follow the lead.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm.
We didn't have that. So, that's where I think not only did I struggle, but even like up until recently, I really was like, I don't know what that means. Cause you know, when I was, I guess early 20s, I used to think, as we talked yesterday, I used to think being a man meant being financially, stable, financially secure, being able to financially provide for others, you know,
yeah.
if need be. And I was like, well, that's just being an adult.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that was a good point when he said that. And I think where my mind went was like, okay, I didn't become financially stable until I was a man. I didn't make money from working for somebody.
Right.
I made money from taking my abilities and turning them into an ownership and selling those things and having discipline and getting jobs done.
Yeah.
And having discipline in advancing the business that I started.
Yeah.
I didn't get rich off of working for somebody else to where my character had no influence on my money.
Sure.
My character had all the influence on how much money I made.
Yeah.
And so it's weird to me because financially stable really equaled manhood for me.
Sure.
I think that's how most of us,
that's most men, I think,
look at it, especially growing up. Like when you're growing up, you just think of manhood because your examples are usually financially stable men.
Yeah.
And you look at them as the financial stability being the main component of them being a man. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, cause you're in, you know, a lot of times when you're a youth, so, you know, they're providing for you financially.
Yeah.
You got to come to them for money.
Yeah.
You probably literally heard them say, I pay the bills around like shit like that. So you're programmed to think like, oh, manhood is defined by my financial stability or my, you know, financial success.
Sure.
Yeah.
Which,
but the reason why I said it's an adult thing is cause again, being raised by a single mom, my mom was the breadwinner.
Right, exactly.
And I've heard her tell me, I pay the bills, you know? So it was like, but to your point, Liz, I think.
I think we're both saying the same thing. It's, you know, it's.
But I also, you know, I think to give an actual answer, because again, I definitely struggle with this, is I think I knew I became a man when I became who I thought I could be.
Mm.
So let me break that down. Mm. We all have potential.
Yeah.
Every single one of us, male, female, whatever. We're talking about the guys right now. And for me, I hold myself to a very high standard. I try to be the best of the best. I believe in the saying that says, how you do anything is how you do everything. Okay. So I wholeheartedly believe in that. So whether it's a father, husband, friend, co-host, whatever, like Lo said, you can count on me.
Yeah.
You can depend on me. I'm an accountability partner and a dependability partner. Okay. And so for me, when I was like trying to think about, you know, am I reaching for the stars here? But I'm like, yeah, I'm reaching for the stars. Why not? You only live once type of thing, right? And so when I actually started to cross my T's, dot my I's, take some looks in the mirror, and I was like to do like a check-in, like, are you there yet? No, I'm not there. Okay, what do I have to do to get there?
Yeah.
So to your point of like really embracing, I'll say flaws for lack of a better word, but really embracing just the things that I needed to improve on.
Yeah.
Because a lot of men, I feel like, lack awareness of it. So they lack self-awareness of like what they need to work on. And then even if they are aware, which is so much of the battle, they're like, nah, I'm good. Mm. It's not me, it's her. Or it's not me, it's him. Mm. Or it's not me, it's my boss. Mm. Okay.
Mm.
I was like, the hell with that. Because I'm the common denominator in all my messed up situations or relationships, family, jobs, it didn't, whatever the case was. So there came a point in time when I actually put in all the work, and when the work works,
when the work works,
yo, it's on another level. And for me, that meant that's when I became a man.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I also just saw it with my relationships with my wife, with my relationship with my daughter, with my relationship with my friends, even, and especially friends, because I struggle growing up, like being friends with guys, because I was the pretty boy of the group. Mm-hmm. All the girls wanted me, and I'm like, look, this, you know, and
save some pussy for the rest of us.
But I'm trying to figure out a way to like deliver this message in the right context.
I think
all the girls wanted me.
Everybody wanted me.
Not, what you want me to do?
I feel you. Like I you think know? We get what you. Yeah.
And
you're
also,
saying.
My mom had money at for a long stretch there when I was, like when money was cool as a friend. Okay, not when I'm three.
Like when you could get 13. Jordans and stuff.
Sure. And I'm fly all the time. You know, like my
all the girls want me. Yeah. I was fly.
You know,
his shoes whack. His whack me. Whack me. I'm fly as fuck.
Exactly. If no one knows what you're talking about, go watch that. Yeah, that amazing. That meme. But anyway, so yeah, so like I struggled with friendships with other guys because I couldn't really relate to them and they couldn't really relate to me. And I was so comfortable around women. I was raised by women, so then it translated into, like, you know, maybe that's the whole friends with benefits situation.
Yeah, look at you, bro.
full circle. Does it make sense now?
Yeah, we're peeling back the layers, man. We're getting deep today.
Yeah, apparently it's So for me, not to get off too much tangent, but I definitely struggle with relationships with other guys. Yeah. And then I grew up without a father. Mm. So for me, it was such like a confusing thing of like, when did I become a man?
Yeah.
And I thought like, did I ever become what I saw my potential to be? Right.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Yeah. No, everything you said is like, is really awesome.
I relate to all of it, man. Like, If I had to say a date or time, I honestly don't think I did until like maybe 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Like it was, I don't think we really become
late.
Men. I mean,
we mature late.
For sure.
Yeah.
Maybe late 20s, 30s. That's when it really starts to set in for most guys, I'd say. Yeah. I don't think, I mean, sure, there's some, like my little brother, for instance. My little brother's like 26, 27.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's a sheriff's deputy down in Alabama. He's had his shit together for years. Yeah. Like, to the point where I'm like, damn, dude, like.
Yeah, how'd you do it?
What the fuck? And I'm, you know, I'm 10 years older than him.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
I think he's 10 years younger than me. Either way, it doesn't matter. But, like, yeah, no, I remember when he first got married, I went down to his place and he had, you know, he had his house with his land and all that. And I just remember sitting back, like, looking at him like, damn, my little brother's actually a man. Like,
he figured it out.
This shit is
and
actually.
It was because
and I was still trying to figure it out at this time. This was like, you know, 7 years ago or something like that. And I was still like, maybe not that long ago. But either way, like, I just remember a time in my life where I looked at my little brother and I was like, the fuck?
You did this. Yeah. Like, and that's why it's so hard for me to separate financial stability from manhood.
See, I think it is kind of tied in there because if you're not, as a man, like, and I'm not saying you need to be rich. I'm not saying that, but you need to be able to take care of yourself because it speaks to something higher than just do you have money or not, right? Because
if you can't
take care of yourself, like, if you know, if you can't pay your bills, if the world, you know, everything happens tomorrow and you can't figure it out, like,
COVID.
an extent, like some people are just getting fucked, but you know, to an extent, it's like, if you're not out here earning, you can't provide for yourself. What does that say about your work ethic? What does that say about your drive to get up and go get it on your own?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Now, like, and you're by yourself, if you're single, there's two sides of this. Like, you know, sometimes family, kids, all that can motivate, but also sometimes it doesn't like motivate.
Yeah.
And you actually, in my opinion, become more of a shit bag because now you're not only lazy for yourself, you're lazy for your kids and your girl or whatever. So, I mean, I don't think we can necessarily separate the two. I think they do
go hand in hand
to an extent. Yeah.
So we actually talked about this yesterday.
And that's why it fucked me up. Think? Yeah. It fucked me up.
And do y'all think do you think we separate?
So I posed something to Jared and then he kind of like, I thought you figured it out yesterday. So what we said, Lois, is we were like, you know, Jared's like, I thought when I became a man is when I became successful. And I was like, yeah, but you can be successful financially.
Yeah.
But still have some fucked up morals.
Absolutely.
And integrity's out the window your character's trash. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So that has nothing to do with money.
Yeah.
So, you know, because again, that's why I can separate, you know, financially, being financially stable and secure is an adult thing.
Yeah.
Or at least an adult goal. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Being a man. Becoming a man is so much more loaded. Becoming a woman is so much more loaded, right? But so that's why I think the separation is there, because get your money, yes. But then what else are you doing internally?
Yeah.
So maybe
to become a man and be a better person.
Maybe the better word then, instead of using finance or money, is can you provide?
But here's the thing. Right? So let me pose this devil's advocate for example for you. What about a stay-at-home husband?
He's providing.
He's providing a service, but financially.
Well, I mean, he's providing nurturing. He's providing love. He's providing, you know, father.
But money.
Hood fathering.
But money, the only thing he's providing is just saving on daycare.
Yeah, but that's not the same as somebody who's not willing to do. You know what I mean? Who's not willing to get up and go. I don't know many stay-at-home dads, but the ones that I do know are phenomenal fathers.
Sure.
Yeah,
they're not
sure.
They're not sitting on the couch watching SportsCenter all day while the kids do whatever.
And he's crying, yeah.
And the guy who I'm referencing when I say won't get up and go out and get it, that's the type of stay-at-home dad he would be. He would be on the couch not reading to this kid, like, you know, go eat some fucking chips, you know, drink a juice box. Like, that's him.
Yeah.
I would not knock a good quality, you know, stay-at-home dad. I think there's obvious reasons for it. The wife probably makes more money.
Yep.
You know, it wouldn't make sense for you to be at work. So you're at home being taking the best dad you can be.
Yeah.
That's great. I commend you for it. I think that's an honorable and, you know, good thing to do. Mm-hmm. But I get what you're saying.
It's well said. And I think because we were also saying too, like, you know, at least for me, for sure, I remember having plenty of conversations with my now wife.
now beautiful wife.
And, you know, every now and then we joke, we're used to, not anymore because it makes sense now. We used to joke about, man, I wish I would have met you earlier. I wish I would have met you. So again, I'm 33. I won't say her age. But
yeah, you said this every episode. I'm 33.
This is your audience, bro. Hi, guys. Nice to meet you.
They don't even know how
old I am.
Well, I guess I
a lot of people don't.
I didn't realize that I was framing my age, but it's context.
My age. Before.
It's per the context.
I gave it away.
So what I was going to say is that if I would have met my wife, and I tell her this, if I would have met you when I was 27, I wouldn't be your husband. Because I was not the man who you married back then.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you don't equate financial stability to who you are now.
When I was 27, when I was 28, when I was 29, it's all prior to my wife, I was chilling financially. Yeah. I was very, very, very financially secure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't think I was really a man, at least the man I am today.
Right.
So that's why I personally, with my experiences, can definitely separate the two between financial and just becoming morally a man, I guess.
Yeah.
But so I can definitely separate. But I think it's very safe to say we can all agree that majority of men equate becoming a man to financial success, stability, financial security.
Yeah, definitely.
And that, for me, the reason why it's hard for me to separate them is because prior to me taking accountability, prior to me developing self-discipline, prior to me taking ownership of my responsibilities and my weaknesses and knowing where my strengths are and knowing what I need to work on, I made no money.
Right.
I was very, very poor.
Yeah.
And as soon as I started to take those things seriously,
yeah,
as soon as I started having initiative, as soon as I started having integrity, as soon as I started having like a outlook on life that was like, I am responsible for me.
Yeah, no one else is.
and that is when I started to develop financial stability.
But how did you get to that mindset of I am only responsible for me?
To be honest, the first thing I thought of was like, I want to be marriage material. It was a woman that came into my life that made me go, oh, I need to get my shit together so that I can still capture her. You know what I'm saying? So so for me personally, I equate manhood with me having to decide I needed to get my finances in order. And that's the thing. I know, and I'm aware that it's very superficial. Even in the beginning of the episode, I said, I know this is superficial and I know this is on the surface. But for me, it was such an indicator on how strong I had to change. Sure. It was such an indicator. Financial stability was such an indicator on how my character has changed. And I know for you, you made most of your money from modeling.
Like all my money.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that in modeling, you don't need to have character. Don't need to have you have to look like it.
Dog. In fact, most of the people that are really making some money are the fucking most trash
childish
people on earth. But you teed up something really nice. We talked about this yesterday as well. And Lost, I really want to hear your feedback from this too.
Yeah.
I have this belief that men change for one of two reasons. Mm. Women.
Mm.
Welcome to another round of Boardroom or Miro Board. Today we talk retrospectives with Agile Coach Maria. Let's go. First question. You've spent 2 hours in a team retro, but the only input you've heard is Dave's. Boardroom or Miro Board?
Boardroom. In Miro, Dave can't hog the space because everyone can add thoughts anonymously, online, at the same time.
Correct. Next. You need the team to act on feedback fast. So you turn all those retro notes into Jira tasks instantly.
Miro all the way. And I can assign those tasks to teammates.
You're nailing this. Now, you see hundreds of sticky notes from the retro. A real mess. But you organize them into 5 themes in just seconds.
Miro, I basically get back an entire hour when I use its AI tools for clustering.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people running actually enjoyable and actionable retros in Miro. Get your first 3 boards free at Miro.com. That's M-I-R-O.com.
At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place. By working more efficiently, by using more sustainable practices, by developing better technologies, we keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
And money.
I can agree.
Yep.
That is it.
And I change for
I'm,
both.
I'm going to say that for the women listening. Men only change because of you and money. That is it. Period.
What made you change?
So it was a long process, but what started to make me change was when my daughter started getting older. Because I knew when she was like younger than like 5, I knew like the spotlight wasn't really on me yet.
Yeah.
So when she was 5, I give my age again. When she was 5, I was 25. Okay.
Yeah.
So timeline. So yeah. 25, I really started to be like, okay,
I need to do some shit.
I need to get my shit together because am I going to be the man my daughter wants to marry? Then fast forward through failed relationship. After failed relationship, I was like, oh, still me.
Like, yeah.
I'm the common denominator. And then I met my now wife. And when I realized what I had in front of me in her,
yeah.
like you, that's why I gave you the ring fist bump.
Yeah, oh.
You didn't even.
I just gave you the bump.
I gave you the bump. I know. Everything is calculated, dog.
So it's not astrology then. When you make decisions.
Boy, they made it for me. So this was an out-of-body experience.
Yeah.
Anyways, so when I met my now wife, I realized I was like, oh, man.
Yeah.
Like, I can't take the same me into this new relationship and expect a different result. Like, I got to get my shit together.
Yeah.
But I actually didn't even think about the money part. I was like, internally, I need, as a man, I need to get my shit together.
Yeah.
I want my actions to speak so loud, you don't even hear my words.
Yeah. That's a good point. I think I was so broke growing up. My parents were so poor that, like, I really knew that I did not want to, for one, have a wife or, and it was just important to me. It wasn't important to like my manhood, but it was important to me to know that if I was going to ask somebody to marry me, I needed to be financially stable.
Yeah, totally.
If I was going to have a kid, I needed to be financially stable.
Yes.
And so, I think for me, it was like, I know money isn't everything.
Sure.
But the reality is when you don't have it,
It's everything when you don't have it.
It's so important.
Financial stability as a man, being financially secure, is so heavy on us. And it's been programmed and conditioned. You touched on the earlier lows from just, you know, childhood. But
right.
I want to give the peace of mind to my wife. You want to give the peace of mind to your wife. You want to give the peace of mind to your future wife, Lois, or partner, or mom, or niece, or whoever right?
Is. Yeah, absolutely.
Like, because that as a man, right? That's like our main job, like our number one job. And I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I'm just saying like that's what the narrative is.
Well, you actually said something that made me kind of go, I have an epiphany, is that man is a combination of things. Mm-hmm. To be a man, you need to have, you know, you need all the character development, the integrity, the honesty.
Talk to him.
The you know, self-discipline. But then you also need to have the financial stability and the emotional stability and the physical stability.
Yeah.
And so that combination is where you become a man. It's not one or the other.
Sure.
And I think people, when they say, well, finance is just because you're financially successful doesn't mean you're a good guy. Well, that other guy probably doesn't have the emotional side.
Right.
The character development that you need to become a man.
Sure.
And vice versa. Maybe there's somebody who is very well-rounded and self-aware and has like the honesty and integrity and all those things, but he's not financially stable.
Yeah.
He's going to have trouble finding a mate.
Sure.
You know,
sure,
it, sure. He's not a complete man.
Sure.
And I could be wrong in that saying that, but that's kind of an epiphany I just had right now.
I had another epiphany. Oh my, go ahead.
No, go ahead. Get your epiphany out for sure. Get that out.
I had another epiphany right now. I believe I decided to work on myself, non-financials, as a man, when I became financially stable.
Oh.
Because it was now, that was one thing off my plate. I was like, cool, am I good financially? Yeah, I'm good. Okay, now what's next?
Yeah, that's interesting, because I was the opposite.
That's crazy. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I've been listening to you guys talk. And it's been
a clap.
It's been very...
No, it's like, shut up.
It's very, no, it's been very interesting. It gave me a few thoughts. I think at first we all basically... excuse me. Said that we don't necessarily think that your financial success is tied to your manhood. And
right.
I think we could still agree that the level of financial success you're having, you know, how much you have in your bank account, doesn't necessarily define your manhood, as long as you can provide for yourself.
Sure.
Sure. That said, I do now believe, now that we've kind of, you know, said all these things out loud, I don't think I can separate your ability to earn from manhood. And I'll tell you a few different reasons why. What you were saying, a lot of the stuff with your financial development and personal development, they all, to me, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but they were byproducts of each other.
Yeah.
One hand washed the other, both hands washed
the
face.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so with that in mind, you can't necessarily separate the two because they were intertwined. It was like DNA, right?
What about someone like JD, who they weren't byproducts of each other?
Well, so in a way it was, because JD eventually, because he was financially mature, financially developed, at that point he felt like he had the ability to work on the emotional side, because he had, like you said, I ticked that box.
Yeah.
So it freed me up to do the other things.
Yeah.
I do agree to an extent that we do change primarily for money or women. I do think that there's instances, like for myself, where I have made changes in my life because I just recognize that I need to change.
Yeah.
I don't think that's I think that's rare. I don't think that's the main thing. I think most guys.
Well, you smoke weed.
A lot.
And weed gives you empathy. A lot of people don't talk about that.
What do you mean empathy? Like I feel for other people? Like
weed gives you a weird, and it could be just me, but I notice whenever I smoke weed, I have a weird, weird super power of thinking of other people and how they feel. I don't know what it is. I'm like, okay, I get high. I'm like, all right, what in my character do I need to fix?
I get more apathy from weed than I get empathy.
Wait, what's apathy again?
Apathy is when you don't give a fuck.
Oh my God. Yeah, see, and that's, for me,
it's
weed,
the opposite.
I have to stop. I can't smoke weed that much because of the amount of empathy that I get.
Wow. So now I know every time you send us a nice text, and
he's high.
And I'm high.
High.
I'm high as hell. But I just have this weird thing of being like, what could I have done? Like, I've actually done it in the group where I was like, hey, guys, I know I'm very disagreeable. I'm working on it.
You were high.
Yeah. I was high.
You were like, hey, guys, I know.
Yeah. No, come on. but it's a weird thing. I get high and I start to look at my character.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't. That's
self-examination.
Super sidetracked.
But
it's just something that I've noticed in myself.
Maybe. Yeah. But Los is the opposite. He's saying.
Yeah. So it actually just kills my point.
Sorry.
Cut that out. My bad.
Anyways. And then. As we're talking about all this, I started to think you have to be like at least somewhat financially stable to be a man. It is part of manhood. And this is why, like, as you guys were saying, our jobs were to
provide.
Thank you. Right. So let's take this back to the reference that came to my head is a prehistoric one. Right. A caveman would attract a mate based off of his ability to provide, right?
Yep.
And of course, obviously, outwardly things, you know, if he's some like sickly looking crazy guy, he's probably not going to attract a lot of women back then because you don't look like you can reproduce. And if you do reproduce, you're going to reproduce sickly offspring that aren't going to survive, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. The big buff guy that's going out here killing the saber-toothed tiger with a fucking club and doing all that shit, whatever caveman did, he was attractive because women saw him. They said, okay, he can provide for me. He's gonna protect me.
Mm-hmm.
He's gonna have good stock, good children with me because obviously the genetics are good, et cetera, et cetera. So fast forward that to modern times. You're hunting. You're no longer hunting. The new hunt is the hustle, is the job, is how you get up and go get, you know, whatever. So while you may not necessarily need to be rich. You have to hunt.
Yeah.
You have to go kill that fucking tiger, because if you don't, nobody's going to want you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You're not a man. And what was a man, you know, what defined a man in those times? Your ability to provide, as you guys were saying now, still to this day, can you provide? So I don't think that we can completely remove money from the pot when it comes to what makes a man. You do have to earn. You have to be able to provide. So maybe the word isn't financial stability, but being able to provide.
Yeah.
And know, well, and understanding that being able to provide
is layered.
Is layered, but money is in the mix.
Sure.
Yeah.
And maybe at the forefront.
No broke boys. No, I'm
No, I think it's I think well it, I think well it's said. A
broke boy.
It's in broke theory.
Boy. Ooh. It's in itself. Broke boy. You're not a broke man. If you're a broke man, you're probably a broken man.
Yeah. Oh.
Come on, Lowe's.
I smoked a different strain.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, no, it's
I didn't
it's
smoke
true.
The African cookies. I smoked Mother of Fuego on my way today. So here we are.
I think in theory, it's very inclusive of us to be like, financial stability doesn't equate manhood. But in reality, it's what it all the characteristics that you describe as a man.
Yeah. You have to have money.
They're probably going to be doing well in the work field.
Or at least employed.
Yeah.
At least earning.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I think we all agree that you don't have to be
rich to have a good life.
Rich to have a good life, or even rich to call yourself a man. You just need to be able to provide. That's the key thing is can you provide? And maybe your family, you only need $800 a month and a fucking pack of, you know, animal crackers.
Yeah.
Maybe that's all you need where you live. I don't know.
It's like a crackhead or what?
Yes, he is. This person.
What's going on right now? Get you some aqua animal crackers at $800, you're a man.
Has to become a man starter kit.
If you live in the backwoods of Mississippi. Oh, sorry. No disrespect in Mississippi. I use Alabama. If you live in the backwoods of Alabama, you probably don't need much. $800 a month. You don't have to make $10,000 a month.
Yeah.
That's obviously
I'm just trying to think of the mean.
I'm choosing bad words here.
I'm just trying to think of the four box meme. That's like becoming a man starter kit. Animal crackers.
Yeah.
$800.
Yeah.
With some tube saw, just one pair.
And a crack pipe.
Jesus Christ.
In a bus car.
Do you guys
but
have
I think
a,
you guys know what I'm saying. Like, you don't have to make $1 million a month, but you have to be able to provide for yourself and whoever you're responsible for.
Right. Yes.
Yeah. Do you guys have a particular moment where you have had enough of being a boy?
Yeah. 2017, February for me, very specifically.
Wow.
That was my self-intervention for sure. That was my come to Jesus moment. That was
astrology moment.
All the man. Listen.
Come to Saturn moment.
Yeah, I told you about karma. I told you about karma.
You're blocking the shot.
People are going to kill me for the astrology thing.
Get
but
your boy.
I will die on that hill. I'm willing
get your
to die
boy.
On that hill.
You're going
to
learn one day.
I'm willing to die on the astrology hill. And they know that I don't fuck with it. They know I make fun of it all the time. But I don't knock it.
Yes, you do.
Yes, you do. You make fun of
you
it.
You knock it and mock it.
What? You knock it and mock it.
No, I don't mock it.
You just did.
Wow. No, I did not.
Probably near your astrology
moment.
Yeah,
I think it's funny.
What the fuck?
Let me make something clear for the astrology people out there.
Keep digging.
I do believe that the moon affects us just like it affects waves. I don't believe that because I'm a Libra, I'm going to be this certain way or this certain characteristic of my personality. There's way more influences on me than the fucking moon to decide what my character is. There's way more. My parents have a bigger influence than the damn moon.
Hey, universe.
But are they more powerful than the moon?
Not me.
Oh my God, it's more powerful than the moon. I believe that the amount of words that you hear as a child affects the way your brain develops, not the moon.
Yeah, but the moon literally pulls the ocean.
Yes, I agree. It can affect your moon. It can affect your mood, per se. You could be sad or happy, just but saying. That's a day-to-day basis. Well, not you're born on this day, so you're going to be this.
You're 80% water.
I agree. That's why I'm saying it does affect you, but it does not choose your personality.
You're making the moon very upset right now.
On February 2007, there was a full moon. So,
okay, tell me your story, bro. Tell me your astrology full moon
shit.
Story. Hit me with it. There hit me. No. With
tell
it.
Me your stupid fucking astrology stupid story.
No, I'm not going to because stupid. I don't want to be on that side.
I actually wanted to hear it.
Wait, you don't want to share it?
I was getting vulnerable with you guys about my self-intervention.
I didn't.
About my yeah. what became yeah. why I became a man.
Yeah.
I still wanted to hear. I wasn't dismissing your self-intervention.
I was not hearing it.
So what you want to hear right now? Astrology or when I became
no,
a man?
Self-intervention.
No, became a man. Okay. Isn't it?
I thought you said.
But astrology played a part.
Oh, it did. I was making a joke.
I don't know. I don't know if astrology played a role.
I didn't know if it actually did. My bad.
No. It did.
Okay. Hit me when you became a man.
Okay.
Tell me your crack story.
So I had these animal crackers, right?
And $800.
And $800 in my pocket. And I realized.
Damn, what have I started? I'm going to get animal crackers and not $800 from
people.
Hey,
we might get a sponsorship.
Hey, somebody, like, if you're going to give me the animal crackers, you have to include the $800.
Enjoy the podcast. Sponsored by
Animal Crackers and $800.
Crackers.
Crack.
Crackers.
Okay, go. Give me the story.
We got
intervention.
Okay.
Ready, set, go.
Right. When I was going through my self-intervention, I realized that.
What happened? I didn't do it this time. It wasn't
What's
me. I didn't do anything.
Because what? The intervention is for drugs. And so like,
no,
it's just,
not.
Well, no, it can
that's
be
a,
anything.
That's a sobriety thing.
Okay.
No, I mean, it is for drugs too, but yeah. you can do like.
It's a sobriety intervention.
You can have a porno problem. You can do a porn intervention.
That's why it just made me laugh. It just made me laugh because I think people were leading into like, this is really about to be a crack story. Well,
no. More crackers.
All right, I kind of lost my train of thought here.
I'm sorry.
When you had your self intervention.
Oh, the moment I figured out that I needed to be, I needed to change it up, right? Yeah. I wanted to become a better man.
Yeah.
I had just turned.
Stop laughing. That wasn't me, bro.
No, I was just saying.
I didn't laugh.
I just turned 30.
Okay.
But he's 33.
Infatuation is with numbers. Oh, my gosh.
He's 33 now.
It's astrology.
Just
no.
reset?
Yeah, let's reset.
No, why are we resetting?
Yeah, I just I realized. See now,
whatever. Please,
Lois laughed at you for getting molested. You're laughing at me now for my intervention.
I didn't laugh at him again. Okay, I kind of laughed at you for getting molested. I'm sorry.
People were really upset about that. I shouldn't
laugh at those things. And
we're gonna deal with this at the end because I think there's a section where we're gonna go through comments.
He made a comeback though.
And
because YouTube loves Lois.
Well,
they've always loved Lois.
Instantly when I left,
but we're gonna let's finish the man talk and then we'll go into the comments.
I'll write it in
stuff.
My notes.
Okay, give me your story.
Wait, what's the woman in, or man in court who is typing everything?
The stenographer.
Oh, that's him.
You.
Stenographer.
No, we need to. There is a lot of semantics in our arguments.
Look at what he wrote, Jesus.
Well, so I don't forget.
You won't.
I know. That's the point.
Molested.
Oh God, that's what we're doing. Get my notes down. Get my notes down. They're gonna see the recipe to my secret cornbread.
Can't go.
Recipe of success.
Yeah.
Go. Okay. What the fuck is happening? Okay.
I just stopped something from coming out. So be proud. There was a thought, and it was. It was about to explode, and I grabbed it, and I tucked it away.
Okay.
Intervention.
Serious.
Intervention. All right. I realized that I was responsible for my...
Come on, bro. This is serious talk, bro. I wasn't even laughing, bro.
You had a fucking look on you.
I wasn't laughing, bro. I was serious. I was dead serious.
Don't look at him. Do not look at him, all right? Just stop.
Don't look at me.
Stop. Jesus Christ.
Someone else start.
Do you have a story of when you remember when you became a man?
I feel like for me, it's been a gradual change over the past 5-6 years.
Yeah.
And... I think I'm still evolving and I'm still getting better. For me, it's been definitely the last 5-6 years. Basically, once I hit like 30, that's when it all started. And it wasn't like overnight at 30, but that's when it started slowly happening. I started seeing slow changes. I'm still a piece of shit and I'm still figuring it out. So, yeah.
At least you.
Here's the thing, Lois. I will say, for me, knowing you and getting to know you, I believe that you're not a piece of shit.
I mean, I'm not.
I think
really,
that you're a very sensitive, intuitive person.
Hit the
sounds like a unicorn.
Hit the crickets.
I want company in the unicorn.
Yeah, he's trying to drag you into that.
I'm not dragging. I'm welcoming. I sent the invite. It was an e-vite.
No, I'm gonna check now.
CCG.
I really think that your what did you say to me?
I said I sent him an e-vite to join the unicorn club. Yeah. He said I'm gonna check now.
Oh,
fucking asshole!
Thanks for the invite.
You are an asshole.
Thanks for the invite. I am an asshole.
Speaking of being an asshole,
I am an asshole. But
I think you.
Jared was saying nice things about me. Shut up.
God. I think that you're very, listen, here's the thing. I think what makes you nice is your ability to be honest, to be an asshole when it's needed. You're not going to sugarcoat. You're not going to hold back anything. You're going to tell me exactly what you feel, good or bad. And I think that gets the rap of an asshole or somebody who's a mean person, but you're really not.
And I don't think that, I don't think that I say things with malicious intent anymore. I used to. There was a time in my life where I wanted to, not necessarily hurt, but I wanted a reaction.
Yeah.
I wanted to rattle your cage a little bit. And I still have that in me to an extent, but I've found that it doesn't serve me well. So I don't really do it as much. I do it in fun, but I don't do it like the way I used to, where I would like, you know, unnecessarily just like fuck with somebody. I think that the honesty is part of my maturation and part of my evolution into manhood, is that I figured out how to be honest without hurting and how to be honest. And it is, sometimes it's direct, and I'm sure it can sting a little bit.
Yeah.
But it's, like I said, it's never done in a malicious way. I'm going to say it because it needs to be said, and it's something that I think that you'll benefit from. And I'm also on the flip side of that. I give people their roses. If you're doing something well and if you're doing something right, I want to tell you. I want you to know how much you're killing it in my eyes and that type of thing. So I appreciate you saying that as well.
I think what you just, so you mentioned dependability earlier, right? I think what you, maybe you didn't realize, what you literally just defined almost to the T is the best accountability partner as in a friend that you can ask for.
Damn.
Because listen, if you just have a bunch of yes men in your camp woman, come on, man. That's not the circle you want to be in.
No.
But if you have that one guy who will shoot you straight, regardless. No, so we'll call him No Filter Los.
Yeah.
Okay. Someone who'll shoot you straight.
Yeah.
That's
add to my list of aliases.
That's who you want in your camp.
Yeah.
Tell it like it is. Don't sugarcoat it. I need to know. Whether I want to know, but I need to know.
Yeah.
So your accountability.
You made me think about something as well when you said that, as far as somebody, you don't want a bunch of yes men in the room. Part of also a moment where I know, where if I look back on it, I say, that's a moment where I definitely started to become more of a man, is I realized that I no longer wanted to be the smartest person in the room.
Mm.
And for a long time, I wanted to be the smartest person in the room.
Yeah. Wow.
Right. And the reason I came to that conclusion, one of my big bros, my bro Stat Quo, told me one day, he was like, Los, he goes, your problem is you're the smartest people in your rooms. He goes, when you're in a room with your friends, he's like, you're the smartest one. You need to start being the dumbest one in the room.
Yeah.
And totally. That doesn't mean that you are dumb.
Right.
It just means that everybody around you has that much more on you that you can gain from.
Totally. And
that was a big thing for me, as far as, not that I think that you need that to become a man, but the wisdom that came from that, from learning that statement, greatly contributed in my development.
Yeah.
It aided me in the relationships that I sought out, the way that I tried to cultivate my relationships. It completely changed my way of thinking as to how I approach my day-to-day life. And not necessarily, again, not because of the room analogy, but just because what I took from that in the other way. So it's like, well, I don't want to be the smartest person in the room. So I want to be around people who are working hard, busting their ass, earning, doing all these great things. Oh shit, I have to do that too if I want to be around them. So, okay, wait, what else am I doing that they're doing right that I'm doing wrong?
Yeah.
Let me take that from that. Let me do this. So that was also a defining moment for me as far as shaping my thought. And that was probably, that was like 5-6 years ago.
But that's back to self-awareness.
Yeah. Again, all these things were later in life for sure.
Sure.
Late 20s, early 30s.
So I think it might be good to go this way then too. So women always say, and it's true, as we said, you know, men mature later.
Oh, for sure.
Okay.
100%.
What's the difference between men mature later and age is nothing but a number? Because to Los's brother,
about 7 years.
Because Los's brother, who in your own words, is definitely a man and has been one for a long time. And he's considered young.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're 28. Now you know his age.
And what's going on?
And
hey, it's me.
And you're one of the most mature people, let alone men, that I've ever met in my life. There's so many times where me and Shay will be watching the episode at home, and she's like, "How old is Jared?" I'm like, "I know." It blows my mind.
No, I mean, Jared is
you are a unicorn when it comes to that shit.
Oh, dude, thank you. I'll take the unicorn.
And you're one of those people, to what I was saying earlier, who I looked at and I said, all right, what's Jared doing right that I'm not doing right?
And that's one of the best
stuff from you, for sure.
That's one of the best compliments you can give to anyone.
Yeah.
If I look at you in a way of like, I can learn from you and be better.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. No, I
So like I said, the question is just like, what's the difference? Because I'm sure are women. Mm-hmm. 80% of our audience is women.
Yeah.
And I don't know what the age is, but I'm sure it's, you know, 20s.
20s, 30s, I'd say. Okay. 20s and 30s.
So, you know, for any woman out there who's watching, that's just kind of like,
men,
you know, men ain't shit until they're blank age, whatever the age. Yeah. Now, for me, I was 30. For Losh, you said you were 30.
Yeah.
You were younger than that.
Yeah.
Your brother is younger than that.
Yeah.
So how do we sum that up?
I think emotional maturity. Sorry, not to cut you off, but just a quick answer. Emotional maturity.
Yeah.
I think that's the biggest thing. It's like, because that's the thing that my little brother had at his age that I did not have. At his age, I was running the streets trying to stick my dick in everything that moved and like make as much money as I can blindly, not with purpose, just for the sake of
getting the money.
Showing the women that I was getting the money.
For selfish reasons.
Yeah, exactly.
So emotional
maturity for me. What were you saying?
I was going to say, I go back to, it's funny. I used to have this thing where I would feel like, okay, emotions are lessons, and they are the language that are telling you what is going on around you and inside
signal.
Of you. Yes,
yeah,
they're
you
the signal.
Yeah.
I think most people look at emotions as like this thing that you, they're very
black
and
white. We look at
it
as weak.
Yes.
As young men, we look at emotions as a sign of weakness.
Emotion and vulnerability.
Yes.
Vulnerability showing emotion, which is vulnerability.
Yeah. So I had this weird thing when I was a kid that was like, I wanted to examine all of my emotions very heavily.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So I had this weird thing. I don't know what it was. It was something. It was like before high school. It was like middle school. I had this weird examining thing because I thought emotions were the weirdest things. I thought they were very strange. Why do I feel this feeling when I see this girl? Or why do I feel this feeling when my dad talks to me this way? Or why do I feel this feeling when I make a touchdown in the game? Or like, I used to just really just dwell on them. And my dad actually growing up.
This is what I was going to say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When I would grow up, which in the episode you guys will see, I had my dad on, but I didn't live with him. He would come and grab me, and he lived like an hour away from me. So we would be in the car, and every time he picked me up, he would ask me like, "What are you feeling? What is going on inside? What's happening?" And it forced me to examine my emotions. I got to a level to understanding that emotions are a book. There's something that are telling you what is happening around you, because if you think about the root cord of emotions, I love to bring it to prehistoric days. When I felt paranoia or when I felt fear, is because my body is telling me, get the fuck out of here, run, go, something's gonna kill you. So it is a defense mechanism that your body is like sensing externally. So if I'm in a world and I'm starting to feel I'm depressed or I feel anxiety, what do I feel these things? Reality is like, no. What you're feeling anxiety for is you're a lack of preparation. You feel worried that you're going to fail because subconsciously you know you're not ready.
Right.
And so it's really tangent-y right now, but the real thing of it is like, I just really wanted to be in tune with my emotions and know that they are a signal for me to go figure out what is happening around me. I think what was the question?
I don't even know. But first of all, you just dropped some knowledge.
Bro. Oh,
you don't even realize. And it makes sense.
Yeah, I really like the analogy of like emotions being the non-physical.
Yeah.
Like flip of the coin to like physical pain. Like pain is telling you, yo, something's wrong. Like emotions hurt because they're letting you know something's wrong.
Something's going on. What would you say the, and this is kind of like off topic of a thing, but kind of on topic. What would you say is the quality that secured your wife?
The quality in me?
Yeah.
That secured her?
In you.
Well,
his unicornness.
My Trader Joe's flower game.
Oh, shit.
No, I think.
Here we go.
Get me started. No. I think.
Tulips, orchids.
Yeah, hey. I guess my heart. As these are per her words. She always says your heart. And with that, though, it's the only reason why she really stuck around when I was really putting her through it in the beginning. Because she saw the potential that I had. That's why I have that saying that I said, I think, in the Should You Get Back With Your Ex. You know, people will show you who they are. It's up to you whether or not you want to believe them. I contradicted that with my wife because I was showing her something that I wasn't. And she chose not to believe who I was showing. She was like, I know within there is my husband. Get it together. If you need my help, I'm here for you. But like, we could be here. This could be us, right? But you're playing games. And so I think she saw my heart. At the end of the day, she kept saying, like, I know his heart. I know he's got the biggest heart. And also helped that
She rolled them dice.
So she totally did.
She built a king.
She rolled them dice.
She definitely, and thank you for saying that because you mentioned that. And that's why I said behind every great man is a great woman. Because God help me, man, if it weren't for my wife, I would not be the man that I am today.
Yeah.
Wholeheartedly. And I also just think that I probably would have, again, I said earlier, you repeat what you don't repair. She made me want to repair. That's why I also say that men change for either women or money.
You know.
And for me, it's women per my daughter
and
my wife. But yeah, so my heart is my answer. What about you?
Shan always says this, and I know this because she always is sharing it on her YouTube channel or talking to me about it. She was just saying that you have this weird ability to continue to evolve. Because she would say it all the time. When I first met you, you were not husband material.
Right.
At all.
I don't agree, Shan. I think Jared was very much husband material.
Up your juice box, bro.
Yeah. So, yeah, she would just say, like, every time that I would think to myself, this is her words. Every time I would think to myself, like, oh, you know what? This kind of ran its course. I had fun. This is great. I'm going to end this.
Sure.
I would level up in some type of way.
You'd show up with flowers. And Confuser.
Not even in a flower sense. It's just in a sense of maybe there was a character flaw about me that you noticed that we're fuck buddies. So she wouldn't like bring it up. She's not trying to,
I'm not going to shit on your fuck buddy.
She's not trying to do that. But then what she would.
Odell did.
Oh, God.
Sorry.
Now that one you should drop a bomb for.
Carry on. I'm just saying.
But she would just say like, oh man,
different
like
strokes for different folks.
You would fix the thing that I thought was going to end us. And so I felt like even in myself, like in career wise, even people who have been probably paying attention to me,
we see you maybe watching.
Maybe they were a fan of the music, maybe they were a fan of something, whatever it may have been. Yeah. Every probably couple months, I morph into something else. Even musically, every album that I put out, I morph into something else. And that's just kind of been a thick thrown like theme and part of me.
Even with the podcast.
Yeah.
I mean, this was like totally opposite of anything.
Yeah.
And that's why I mean, we talked, a while back and you were like, man, like my audience doesn't even know this side of me.
Yeah.
And so, here we are. But the ability to be able to adapt. Right. And also the ability to unlearn what no longer serves you and then relearn what will serve you. Like, that is something that, like, is so crucial.
It's seductive.
Like, everything in life, man.
Yeah.
Everything in life. And I think a lot of men struggle with that. That's back to the pride. That's back to the ego. No, it's this way. It's this way. You don't like it, then you know the door.
Get the
it's
fuck
like,
out.
Bro, it's 2020, my man. Yeah. Get it together.
Yeah. Like,
I read something, I don't remember what I was reading where I read this at, but this guy was saying, make sure I don't butcher this, an unacknowledged error is an error. an acknowledged error. Hold on. Is an education.
Like that. Say that again.
So let me say it again.
For the people in the back.
An unacknowledged error is an error. And hold on. See, I fucked it up. Damn it. I tried so hard not to butcher what this man said. I butchered it. All right. An unacknowledged error is an error. An acknowledged error is an education.
Yeah. Mm. I like that. Yeah. I like that. I live by this. The words that I love to live by is like, I will be seduced by any thought. I will. Mm. I am not locked onto whatever feeling anything. Mm. I will be seduced by whatever is better. Mm-hmm. And I know a lot of people are scared of that.
Yeah.
That
change, bro.
You know, that feeling.
Yeah.
But for me, I'm going to wonder and explore that thought that I think is a great thought. And then if a new thought comes along, or I get inspired by somebody else who is a better way of thinking, or better way of looking at life, I'm going to be seduced by that.
Sure. Yeah,
and I'm going to go down that path.
It's a sexy way to say you keep an open mind.
Exactly. But see, that's interesting, because that's the opposite of a Libra.
I don't believe in that
I couldn't
shit.
Tell you. You're looking at me.
So my wife is a Libra, so yeah. I know all too well. And most Libras, I know you know, Libras are the most indecisive. That's why their picture is the scale.
Yeah, but I thought that looks as balanced.
They can have
balance. That's what I thought it meant, was balanced.
Yeah, it can have balance, so...
Because it's a scale. And scales are used for balance.
Edit that out.
No, leave that in. That's gold.
However, Libras, I know you're listening, and I know you can agree.
We're balanced. We're not indecisive.
You guys are so indecisive. So for you to be that decisive on changing it up, whatever formula works for you, kind of like whatever side of the bed you wake up on, that's great, though.
Yeah.
Because you don't know unless you try.
Yeah, I remember us talking about it, because I remember, you had, you're the reason why I started this podcast, and you had filmed a lot of episodes.
You're tugging on my heartstrings.
in a trigger way?
No, you're tugging at my heartstrings. It's a good thing.
Oh, okay. Said it earlier. Okay. So you had started, I started this because I went to your podcast.
Yeah.
And I have a crazy, it's been in my character since I was a kid.
Yeah.
I run and I will either break through the wall or I'm going to knock the whole building down. Mm. And I will not hesitate. I will not wait. Mm-hmm. If I have an idea and I think the idea is great, I'm shooting.
Yeah.
I'm shooting it. Yeah. And so that was the same thing as this podcast. As soon as we filmed the episode, I shot it out that week.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that is a part of my shadow that I brought up there a long time ago.
Yeah,
you guys weren't really familiar about shadows. Is that
don't talk to us like caveman. I remember what you said.
I don't.
So the thing about shadows are they are something that is that makes you great. Mm. Mm, technically a shadow is a weakness. Mm. But for me, my shadow is equally my weakness, is equally my strength. My initial shooting, like no hesitation, go, is something that makes me ahead of the pack.
Yeah.
Also, it's the thing that can make me...
Get your neck chopped off.
Get my neck chopped off.
Sure. Yeah.
So it's just something about me that I've always I've been aware of.
I mean, impulsiveness is
is
a real thing. I'm very, very impulsive. And a lot of times it has gotten my neck chopped off in the worst ways. But I have just this thing where it's like you don't know unless you try. And I would rather I'll be damned. My biggest fear in life is regret. I'll be damned.
I should have put out that podcast.
If I'm exactly. But that's the thing. It's funny. But to that point, like that. My podcast, as well as this, let me say that too. Our podcasts they mean so much to me because I know the value that it can give people. And ultimately, I just want to help people.
Yeah.
And so I always said, like, I'll be damned if I'm laid up in bed, 90-something years old, and I'm like, damn, I should have dropped that podcast.
Yeah,
I should have
it's still in the hard drive.
Because I can't do it. Yeah, I can't do it now. So for me, it's regret. But that's why I feed my impulsive nature.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, I don't know unless I try. And if I fail... That's where I'm going to get all the lessons that I need to.
So,
keep the comments coming. Keep them as angry or as happy or as whatever you want.
All the above.
Love it. I think
I love
they're
it
great.
Too,
I enjoy it. I like when people make fun of me, to be honest.
Even make fun of
you,
bro.
When they do, they take shots here and there. And I like that. Like the earlier episodes, I'm like, this guy's an idiot or whatever they may say.
That's because they weren't getting compared to JD.
Jesus Christ. Okay. This was fun. Thanks for coming out.
Oh my gosh. Oh,
I hope you guys enjoyed the podcast.